volunteering. So thousands of Marines will be recalled involuntarily for active duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. The call-up will affect Marines in the Individual Ready Reserve, the group of reservists who still have time remaining on their 8-year military obligation. The Military Corps says it's been authorized to call back as many as 2,500 Marines at a time, but there's no limit to how many could be forced back into service in the years ahead. The Army has ordered back about 14,000 soldiers since the start of the Iraq War, but this is the first time the Marines have used the involuntary recall. The Corps says about 1,200 Marines are needed immediately to fill positions. The number two State Department official met with Washington Post reporter Bob Woodward in mid-June 2003. That is the same time the reporter testified a Bush administration official talked to him about CIA employee Valerie Plame. Official State Department calendars show that the then Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage held a one-hour meeting marked private appointment with Woodward June 13, 2003. Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald has been investigating whether Bush administration officials intentionally revealed Plame's identity as a one-time CIA covert operative. That was allegedly done to punish her husband, the former Ambassador Joe Wilson, for criticizing the Bush administration decisions to go to war with Iraq. An attorney for the Wilson says they are now considering adding Armitage to the civil lawsuit, which has accused Dick Cheney and two White House aides of conspiring to reveal Plame's identity. Bob Woodward declined to discuss his meeting with Armitage or the identity of his source in the CIA leak case. A lawyer for one of the 11 British terror plot suspects who appeared in court today says all allegations are denied. The suspects accused of plotting to blow up U.S.-bound airliners appeared in court under heavy guard. The first eight, all charged with conspiracy to commit murder and terrorism, were ordered held in custody till another hearing next month. Three others, charged with lesser offenses, will also stay in jail till another court date next week. Authorities say along with bomb-making equipment, police searches rounded up more than 8,000 data storage devices. They say the evidence in the case also includes maps of Afghanistan, books on explosive. Prosecutors say trial probably next year. This is Air America Radio News.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in tonight. How you doing? Did you have a good day today? No? Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, the JonBenet killer is talking now. Yes, sir, I understand. Yes, sir, I understand. We're going to be all over the map tonight, so feel free to jump in at any time. The phone number here is 866-303-2270. We've got the story about the Marines. We've got Daniel Ortega, hotel porn. What has happened to John McCain, the guy who wanted to blow up the Central Middle East all of a sudden? Well, we'll get to that. Crime is going up, so naturally the Bush crime family is cutting the funding for anti-crime problems. Four more U.S. soldiers killed in Iraq. Lots of things. I want to start with something, though, that was sent to me by Gordon out in Oklahoma City. And it ties into a story that we did last night. If you remember last night, these Christian insane freaks, quotes around the word Christian, of course, Coral Ridge Ministries. This is a group that really, really, really is sick. What's his name? D. James Kennedy. Excuse me, D. James Kennedy, who's the president of Coral Ridge Ministries. They put together a documentary called Darwin's Deadly Legacy, and it's going to air the end of this week, I believe. It's a TV special, and it'll be on whatever network or whatever stations in the various local markets that carry the psychopathic Coral Ridge Ministry program. This guy's a real troglodyte. He really is, D. James Kennedy. Anyway. It attempts to show a link between Darwin and Hitlerism, that it was Darwin's fault that Hitler decided to murder 6 million Jews and another 4 million Catholics, gays, gypsies, or Roma, people with physical disabilities, on and on and on and on. And according to this this sick freak D. James Kennedy, Hitler got his template from Darwin. Very simple. And this is part of course, this psychopathic Christian right-wing attempt to destroy or cast enough doubt on the theory of the natural selection or evolution, as they like to call it, to cause people to run screaming from, oh, my God, I didn't descend from an ape. Of course, nobody ever said you did, Chuckle Nuts or anybody. Nobody's ever said that humans descended from apes. But that doesn't matter. You see, that's fact, and anyway. So, Abe Foxman at the Anti-Defamation League released a press release yesterday, I think it was yesterday, and said, essentially, I'm not going to quote it, but he said, these people, these Christians are out of their freaking minds. Abe Foxman called the TV special Darwin's Deadly Legacy, calls it twisted, and says, quote, Hitler did not need Darwin to devise his heinous plan to exterminate the Jewish people, end quote. Well, in response to that, the Coral Ridge Ministries has put out another press release that says Abe Foxman should get involved in more history and less hysteria. And the Coral Ridge Ministry says that Foxman is all wrong, and that the argument for evolution's impact on Hitler is strengthened by the fact that Darwinian thought heavily influenced Germany in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. What? Only Germany in the late 19th? Oh, okay. Anyway, so here we go. And I hope American Jews are paying very close attention to what is developing here between Coral Ridge ministers and the ADL. I swear I hope you are, because I don't know how many Jews who listen to this program really think that these Christian killers are on your side where it concerns Israel. They are not. They will cut your throats in a heartbeat. It's no different from the 12th, 13th, 14th century, okay? Stop kidding yourselves, Jews, that these Christians are interested in you as God's chosen people. They don't care. They're using the establishment of the State of Israel and support for Jewish militarism in Israel as the basis for their Armageddonist crap, their rapture, their Jesus is coming when the body count, death count is high enough. These people are sick. All right, let's take it one step further. This is what Gordon sent me. He says, Mike, anyone who learns of Kennedy's attempt to blame Darwin for the action of Hitler should be reminded about Martin Luther, you know, the Protestant reformer, Martin Luther's dirty little book. Martin Luther clearly established, when was that, in the 16th, when was the, when did he nail the Edict of Worms? I think it was, the 95 Theses, was it 15-something. Anyway, Martin Luther, he hated Jews. Martin Luther, who is D. James Kennedy's real ancestor, Protestantism. He hated the Jews. Now, as Gordon writes, Martin Luther clearly established a hostile environment festering with hatred toward the Jews, climaxing with horrific genocide we know as the Holocaust. It was Martin Luther, not Darwin. Oh, for Christ's sake, Kennedy, literally, for Jesus' sake, get your head out of your rectum. And, you know, you talk about Abe Foxman needs less hysteria and more history. How about you? Here's a quote. Or not a quote. Luther's book on the Jews and their lies, that was the title, took Jewish hatred in the 16th century to a new level when he proposed to set fire to their synagogues and schools, to take away their homes, to forbid them to pray, to prevent them from teaching, to prevent them even from uttering God's name. Martin Luther wanted to, quote, be rid of them, end quote, and requested that the government and ministers deal with the problem. He requested pastors and preachers to follow his example of issuing warnings against the Jews. He goes so far as to claim that, quote, we are at fault in not slaying them, end quote, for avenging the death of Jesus Christ. Hitler's Nazi government in the 30s and 40s fit Luther's desires to a T. You see, now, I just wish that every Jew in America who gives a damn, and I certainly wish Protestants, Christians would do this too, but they won't. I wish every Jew in America would just go, just get a little bit, just to quote like one I just read you, from a history of Martin Luther, a real history of Martin Luther, and send it to these evil bastards at the Coral Ridge Ministries, this D. James Kennedy, who has the utter temerity to suggest that Abe Foxman needs less hysteria and more history. When it is D. James Kennedy, you see why I hate religion? You see why I despise all religion, every religion. But this is an argument. This is an argument about history. This is an argument about extermination. This is an argument about facts where it concerns, was it Darwin that led to Hitler or was it Martin Luther? Well, I don't think either one of them led to Hitler. Hitler was Hitler. But if you had to, if you were stupid enough like D. James Kennedy and perverted enough like D. James Kennedy and these right-wing Christians, where you would make up something called, what's this program? Darwin's Deadly Legacy. You'd think the least you would do is understand history just a little bit better. But you see, D. James Kennedy does not know history. There is nothing back beyond 6,600 years anyway. But what D. James Kennedy relies on in the Coral Ridge Ministry and all of these right-wing Christian fundamentalist organizations is the ignorance of your average American / Christian / Protestant. Utter, absolute, mind-boggling stupidity. I always have to apologize to Carl Orff when I play this music because this is not what he meant by it, but it does sound like a bunch of mad monks getting ready to eat a Jew, doesn't it?
I get the sign! Ah!
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Three traps set by a deranged killer. Two desperate cops who take the bait. One thriller that triples the suspense. Triptych, the new novel by New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Triptych takes you down three harrowing paths of murder, then trips you up with one final shocker you will never see coming. See why critics call Karen Slaughter's thrillers crime fiction at its finest. Read Triptych by Karen Slaughter, a Delacorte hardcover.
Hello?
Hello, hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. He traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me and the Jetta? Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-love Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today. We'll be right back.
The course of this conflict is not known. Yet its outcome is certain. God is not neutral.
Past the hour. Oh, and by the way, if sometimes you ever want to have a little fun, as our government is preparing to invade Iran with the full support of the Israeli government, check out how many synagogues exist today, not 1,000 years ago, today in Tehran. Check out the vibrant, how's it described, the vibrant Jewish life that exists in Tehran. Check out here's a quote that RB just sent me. Where is it? Harun Yashai, a film producer and chairman of the Central Jewish Community in Iran, says, quote, "The Ayatollah Khomeini didn't mix up our community with Israel and Zionism. He saw us as Iranians." It says here, like Iran's Armenian Christians, Jews are tolerated as people of the book and allowed to practice their religion freely, provided they do not proselytize, just like Christians. Christians and Jews in Iran. They elect their own deputy to the 270-seat parliament and enjoy certain rights of self-administration. Jewish burial and divorce laws are accepted by Islamic courts. Jews are conscripted into the army. Mr. Yashai says, I know I'm mispronouncing that quote, "We are one of the oldest Jewish communities in the world. When Muslims came to Iran, we had already been here for centuries," end quote. Another woman, Farangas Hasidim, a forceful, it says, but good-natured, good-humored woman who is in charge of the only Jewish hospital in Iran, says, "Take it from me, the Jewish community here faces no difficulties. If some people left after the revolution, maybe it's because they were scared. Our position here is not as bad as people abroad may think. We practice our religion freely. We have our festivals. We have our own schools and kindergartens." And it goes on. Thanks, RB. RB sent this to me. He says, "This one guaranteed to make freeper heads explode across the land." Nothing makes freeper heads explode. They are solid metal. Forget about it. But thanks, RB. So when we begin the bombing, when either we or Israel begins the bombing of Iran, there's going to be a sizable number of Christians and Jews who are going to be incinerated, too. And they don't seem to have a problem living in Iran. Sorry to bring all this up. Well, I'm not sorry. I mean, I can't stand the fact that I was brought up more or less in the Christian faith, and it has been taken over by psychopaths. Not that I frankly don't care, because I don't subscribe to the nonsense anymore. But the fact that people are being persecuted and beaten and murdered because of Islam and because of fundamentalist Christianity, and people are being denied their human rights because of Jewish fundamentalism, and it just goes on and on. And people are blown to pieces on subways in India because of Hindus. Yeah, Hindus, Muslims, I don't know. It's disgusting. I'm just, every time I see one of these stories, though, like that thing about Martin Luther, that you know, 500 years ago, almost 600 years, 500 years ago, he was saying, yeah, well, we need to kill all the Jews. And then this punk D. David Kennedy, whatever the hell his name is, Coleridge Ministries, saying, no. Charles Darwin led to the ovens in World War II. Charles Darwin. Moving on, the latest trick bag that Rumsfeld is sticking Marines in is this. The U.S. Marine Corps said today, It has been authorized to recall thousands of Marines to active duty because of a shortage of volunteers to go kill and be killed in Iraq and Afghanistan. Nearly 3,000 Marines will be brought back at any one time. There's no cap on the total number of Marines who may be forced back into service in the coming years. The call-ups will begin in the next several months. It says this is the first time the Marines have had to use the involuntary recall since the early days of the Iraq combat. The Army has ordered back 14,000 soldiers since the start of the war. I just wonder how much longer people who are in uniform are going to tolerate the fact that they are ordered by a fascist regime to go back once again and take a chance of dying for nothing. Huh, guys? How much longer are you going to accept it?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Hi, I'm David Oreck. My 8-pound Oreck XL Ultra has an 8-year guarantee. The reason my warranties are so much stronger is that my American-made vacuums are so much stronger. Oreck XLs clean thousands of hotel rooms every day. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. You'll still be breaking in an Oreck while other vacuums are broken down.
your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 26 before the hour. This caught my eye yesterday. The Sandinista leader, Daniel Ortega, whose socialist government was, I love the way the Associated Press puts this, was a major antagonist of the United States in the 80s, topped all presidential contenders in a poll released yesterday. Yeah, he was president from, 85 to 90? Remember, and I mentioned this on the show notes on the program tonight at Air America's website main page, Ortega and the Sandinistas finally overthrew what was essentially about a 70-year, if not longer, run of one family, the Somoza family, that was supported by the United States government going back over three-quarters of a century, because Somoza was a dictator like Batista was in Cuba before Castro offed that bastard. We always support these people, don't we? And Somoza was very much interested in protecting American corporate interests. As a matter of fact, in the early part of the century, that's when Smedley Butler wrote about the invasion of Nicaragua by the United States Marine Corps. Under no provocation whatsoever, sort of like a Bush invading Iraq, no provocation whatsoever. The deal in Nicaragua had to do with fruit and natural resources. So anyway, after, 70, 75 years, finally the people in Nicaragua, just like the people in Cuba, said, we've had enough of this crap. And Ortega and the Sandinistas rose up and overthrew the bastard. The United States responded with acts of war against Nicaragua, mining their harbors, sending mercenaries in, putting together a bunch of zombies called the Contras. This is where Oliver North and Elliot Abrams, who's now in charge of Middle East policy for the United States, Oliver North, who has become a psychopathic, drunk son of a bitch who just wanders around bumping into things and does some kind of a special on Fox, I guess. Negroponte, this is where he cut his teeth, setting up death squads in Central America. All these people are back in Bush 2. They worked for Bush 1. And the slaughter of people in Nicaragua, from peasants to Americans who would go down to help set up pumping stations and electric generating plants and irrigation systems, nuns, priests, a bishop. All these people were just butchered in Central America in the 80s by this sick old bastard Ronald Reagan and Pappy Bush. And all of these creepy thugs, General John Singlob, all of these right-wingers who still infest and eat and rot the United States. So it caught my attention to see that Ortega is running for presidente again and is leading all the polls. God, I hope that the members of this audience know what happened in the 80s under Reagan, Bush 1, and all these filthy, filthy, murderous swine who went from then to now, from the Reagan administration, the Bush 1 administration, up to the current criminal enterprise that is Bush 2. I hope you know the truth about that. I'm not going to sit here and go through a Nicaraguan history lesson, but I hope you know, okay? You do, don't you? All right. The other night we told you about, I think it was last week, a couple of Christian websites are very concerned because apparently Christian women, married Christian women, are just addicted to porn in astonishing numbers. And American Christian men are addicted to pornography. Now, I understand the Elmer Gantry syndrome. I know you take somebody like William Bennett, who rails about Christian values, then the evil son of a bitch is a sick, addicted gambler, to the point where, he sucks off a lot of money from the terminally stupid, so in his flock. So I guess he's entitled to do it whatever he wants, right? But this thing about Christians being addicted to porn. You know, when I first read that, this got to be something from The Onion or from what's that other website, Kathy? The church Betty Bauer's website. I think this can't be real. It's real. So all these studies are out now about Christian men and women, these fundamentalist freaks, are all hooked on and addicted to porn. Now, there's a difference between pornography and eroticism, erotic stuff and pornographic stuff. There's a big difference. These Christian men and women, in astonishing numbers, what they say? What they say? A half of Christian men, fundamentalist Christian men, like at Coral Ridge Ministries, are addicted to porn. And as many as 25% of so-called Christian women, like at Coral Ridge Ministries, are addicted to porn. Not eroticism, not erotic art, which is pretty groovy, but pornography, which is stupid, and not to mention juvenile and asinine and sick. Any addiction, in my opinion, is a sickness. Well, it's not my opinion. It's, you know, it is. So anyway. All of this subject, we never really got into it. I just kind of tossed it out. Well, here's a companion piece. This is from the AP today. Conservative religions, religious conservatives like Tony Perkins, of Family Research Council, Concern Women for America, they are aiming at America's hotel industry. That's right. They're saying that pornographic movies are so pervasive in America's hotel rooms, they're like the tiny shampoo bottles, and a coalition of 13 conservative groups. They're not conservative. They're religious psychopaths. But the Associated Press calls them conservative groups, including Family Research Council, Concerned Women for America. They took out full-page ads in some editions of USA Today earlier this month, urging the Justice Department, get this, the Justice Department and the FBI to investigate whether some of the pay-per-view movies widely available in hotels violate federal and state obscenity laws. Rah! My God! Tony Perkins, president of Family Research Council, says, these are places that you take your family. These are respectable institutions. Anything that brings porn into the mainstream is a concern. It just desensitizes people. Well, hey, ass, don't play it. It's not free, Tony. You have to dial it up and pay for it. Excuse me. Yes, Kathy?
They're not going to be happy till they ruin every aspect of prom night.
Well, that's... Precise statistics on in-room adult entertainment. Adult entertainment, don't you like that? Why don't they just say sexual weirdness entertainment? Are hard to come by. By some estimates, adult movies are available in roughly 40% of the nation's hotels, representing more than 1.5 million rooms. Industry analysts suggest that these adult offerings generate 60 to 80% of total in-room entertainment revenue! Nearly $1 billion a year! And who's watching it? Christian men and women! The leader of the campaign against in-room porn is Phil Burris, a self-described former porn addict who heads the Cincinnati-based Citizens for Community Values. Jesus, God, where do these people come from? And of course, the industry is there's two main pornography providers, On Command and Liberty Media. I didn't, Jesus, yeah. South Dakota-based LodgeNet and Denver-based On Command, which is a subsidiary of Liberty Media. The ad that these freaks took out in USA Today accused these companies of distributing hardcore pornography to their hotel clients. A spokesman for both these companies declined to comment on the ad, and LodgeNet, which owns Liberty Media Group, LodgeNet spokeswoman did not return calls seeking comment. However, top spokespeople for two of the biggest hotel chains, Hilton and Marriott, defended the policies that make adult movies widely available at their hotels. They made clear the spokespeople for these hotels that you you don't have to turn it on. Jesus, God! I know, too much religion tonight. I'm sorry. But this kind of stuff just freaks me out. It totally freaks me out. You've got D. James Kennedy, this vampire down at Coral Ridge Ministries, blaming Darwin for the Holocaust, when in fact it was his, one of the leading lights of his denomination, Martin Luther, who suggested that all the Jews be burned. And this movie coming out about Darwin has as one of its featured spokespeople Ann Coulter, the foul-smelling Ann Coulter, has hooked up with Coral Ridge Ministries and says, yes, I didn't know Darwin was responsible for the Holocaust and Hitler until I did a little bit of reading. Yeah, Ann. Oh, my God, I can't take this. Quick, give me a commercial break here.
As I head for the door, I turn around to be sure. Did I shave my legs for this?
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Real words from real people about Lifeline screening.
I was told I should see my doctor or go to the emergency room immediately. Later I said to the physician, I guess I'm pretty lucky to have had those tests. He answered, it saved your life.
In less than 1 hour, Lifeline screening checks for warning signs of stroke and vascular disease. Nearly 50% of people that suffer a stroke never have symptoms. Don't wait until it's too late. Get screened today.
The doctor said I'm one lucky guy, and if I hadn't gone to the screening, I would have been a statistic.
$129, 4 ultrasound tests, no needles, no pain, just peace of mind.
I owe my life to you.
Mobile testing units are coming to your neighborhood. If you're over 50, make an appointment by calling 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Lifeline screening saved my life.
Please call now. 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
need some wood?
Ten before the hour. We're going to come to your phone calls after the break here. Just one more thing. Who sent this to me? This is from Mike. About a year ago, ABC News, ABC in America, not Australia. Jake Tapper and Avery Miller had a report on cable companies providing pornography while funding politicians. And the article goes on and on and on. You can find it if you want to. But they talk about Adelphia, which is one of the biggest porn providers, cable companies that provides all sorts of pornography, softcore pornography, to go into Christian homes. Adelphia had at the time had given $166,000 to Republican committees, thousands to Rick Santorum, Republican, the one that likes to cuddle dead babies. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, these company, Comcast Cable, which another big porn provider, had given millions in political donations since 1998. The National Republican Party Committee is its biggest organizational recipient, having received almost $1 million into $851,000. The Republican National Republican Party committees, like the congressional committees and the Senate committees, in order to get Republicans elected, $851,000. The biggest individual recipient with $109,000 in donations was George W. Bush. Jesus Christ. Now, George is a godly man. We got to keep voting Republicans because they love Jesus. Oh, you idiots. Oh, my God. What is it? Is there a genetic defect in these fundamentalists in this country, and in all fundamentalists? I don't care what the religion is, but let's focus on these Christian nutballs over here. Darwin and Hitler and all the fundamentalist women and men who watch porn and some of the biggest contributors to the Republican National Congressional Committee and the Republican National Senate Committee are porn providers, and Rick Santorum, little holy Rick. Ah, how about that? Rick and George W. Bush. Doesn't anybody in this country ever get tired of hypocrisy? I'm talking about the Republicans or right-wingers. Are you people this blind and this deaf and dumb and stupid? Don't you ever get tired of being hosed by this Republican mind warp? Oh, my God, I keep thinking about Thomas Frank. What's the matter with Kansas? No kidding. Just over and over and over again, the destroy funding for brain damaged soldiers coming home. They suck up as much porn as they can get their hands on. They link Darwin with Hitler and Ann Coulter. And people still vote him into office. And they still say, oh, well, the Republicans are great on national security. The Republicans are the ones who've been in power when national security was shredded. I get too worked up about this, don't I? I know. I said before, there's several personality types that I would just as soon exterminate. Sneaks, cheats, and liars. I can't stand it. And Republicans, conservatives, are all three. They lie. They're sneaky. They cheat. They cheat on everything. Rick Santorum's people, after spending the money that's contributed to them by the porn industry, they go out and sign up people on petitions for a Green Party candidate for Senate in Pennsylvania. It turns out the signatures are forged and fake. They cheat and lie and steal and defile the name of Jesus and duplicitous to the Jews and want to murder all the Muslims. Wow, what a track record. Incredible. I switch on AOL today, and I see that Bush's approval rating is up to 42%. I listened to CBS Night, Bob Schieffer, who's a family member, friends of Bush, and find out that Bush's approval rating is at 30%. And the same day, AOL, Ipsos, or whatever the hell it is, oh yeah, Bush's approval rating has gained 12 points in the month of August. 12 points in the month of August. Now, you know somebody's lying there, right? ABC comes on tonight and says his approval rating is in the toilet again. Still, hasn't moved. Not that anyone should care. But man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Don't you just get as pissed off as I get? Come on, be real. Come on, be honest. I'm not talking about your right wingers that have your heads firmly inserted in your rectums. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about all of us normal people out here who just struggle, you know, just struggle to retain our sanity from sundown to sunrise to sunset. Just struggle with all this garbage. You turn on television, you look at these cable, you look at Wolf Blitzer, you look at O'Reilly, you look at this, you look at that, if you're nuts, you look at this stuff, you go, my God, what planet are these people on? And John McCain. How about John McCain? Busting up on Bush. Was that today? Huh? Was that today? A guy who allowed the Bush family, the Bush crime family, to almost literally rape him during the South Carolina primary in 2000. Call his wife a drug addict and his child a racial slur and him a turncoat and a coward and crazy because of what he suffered as a POW in Vietnam, and then turns around and sucks up to Bush and kisses him and pets on him and grabs his crotch, and now all of a sudden he's turning on Bush. Gee, why is that? McCain, you make me sick. We'll have more fun and frivolity after the break here. I need to calm down. Do we have any booze in the house, Kathy? We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
Great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Three traps set by a deranged killer. Two desperate cops who take the bait. One thriller that triples the suspense. Triptych, the new novel by New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Triptych takes you down three harrowing paths of murder, then trips you up with one final shocker you will never see coming. See why critics call Karen Slaughter's thrillers crime fiction at its finest. Read Triptych by Karen Slaughter, a Delacorte hardcover.
Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Those two Israeli soldiers whose capture by Hezbollah started the war are still not free. but a United Nations envoy says there are some hopeful signs. After meeting with officials in both Israel and Lebanon, the envoy believes Israel may be warming up to a possible prisoner exchange. Government officials in Jerusalem would not comment, but the military says Israel holds 13 Hezbollah prisoners who could be swapped. Israel's prime minister says Israeli forces will lift their air and sea blockade of Lebanon once that international peacekeeping force moves in. Ehud Olmert spelling out Israel's position during a meeting with the United Nations envoy, who said that U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan plans to visit the Mideast next week. A statement from the prime minister's office says dispatching peacekeepers to the airport and Syrian border crossings will let Israel lift the blockade against planes and ships. Earlier, a Hezbollah cabinet minister said the Lebanese government might move to break the restrictions by inviting ships and aircraft into port without asking for clearance first from Israel. The UN peacekeepers in Lebanon reportedly will have the right to shoot in self-defense or to protect civilians, but a French newspaper says they will not actively search for Hezbollah weapons. Meanwhile, Malaysia and Indonesia are insisting on their right to send troops for the UN peacekeeping mission in Lebanon. They dismiss Israeli objections because those countries don't recognize the Jewish state. Bangladesh, which also has no ties to Israel, says they're aware of Israel's rejection of troops from their three nations, which are among the only ones to have offered frontline troops to the force. All were highly critical of Israel during the fighting. Israel's rejection adds to the troubles faced by the UN, which is already struggling to try to attract soldiers from European nations, seen as essential to balance out the contributions from Islamic countries. A NATO convoy attacked in southern Afghanistan today. Four coalition soldiers and a civilian were hurt. Also today, insurgents ambushed a police vehicle in southeastern Afghanistan. Five police officers were killed. In Kandahar, a coalition spokesman says a suicide bomber drove his car into a military convoy. He wouldn't disclose the nationality of the soldiers wounded. Meantime, insurgents ambushed a police vehicle near the Pakistani border. Police say a district police chief was among those killed. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, I want to get this in, and then we're going to take some phone calls. This is about the McCain thing. Today, he's out there mouthing off about Bush, the Bush administration, for misleading Americans into believing that our invasion and occupation of Iraq would be, in McCain's words, quote, some kind of day at the beach, end quote. Okay. He went on to say, I think one of the biggest mistakes we made was underestimating the size of the task and the sacrifices that would be required. Stuff happens, mission accomplished, last throws, a few dead enders. I'm just more familiar with those statements than anyone else because it grieves me so much that we had not told the American people how tough and difficult the task would be, end quote. Now, the phrases he used, of course, are the ones that top members of the Bush crime family, including Chucklenuts himself, have used. So there's McCain standing out there. Here's a guy who allowed the Republicans to insult his wife, his child, and himself during the 2000 campaign in South Carolina, and came back sucking on Bush's mouth, kissing him and hugging on him and stroking him. It's vile. Now, McCain has been in Ohio campaigning for Mike DeWine, the senator there, who's going to get his ass handed to him by Sherrod Brown, who is a representative, a Democratic representative from Ohio, but is going to beat Mike DeWine's ass purple in the election coming up. And in Cleveland yesterday, McCain said at an appearance that if U.S. troops announce a specific date to leave Iraq, insurgents will bide their time until they have an opportunity to act without interference. My question to that is, so what? It's their war! And then McCain says the chaos that would ensue would have direct implications for our national security. How? How is that possible? Well, it's not. But this is McCain. You see, McCain jumps on the Bush crime family, but McCain is a criminal too. Don't forget why McCain was in a POW in North Vietnam, because McCain was involved in murdering civilians. You know, flying overhead and dropping bombs. And they got him. And they put his ass in prison. What would we have done? We would have tortured people, too. We did torture people. I'm so sick of John McCain, I could spit blood. But anyway, the Associated Press reports that McCain, quote, faulted the Bush administration for misleading Americans into believing the conflict would be easy. And now, McCain, of course, should criticize this corrupt bunch of junkies who are running the country now for, among other things, telling us that Iraq was going to be a day at the beach. But why doesn't he talk about his own rosy assessment as he was cheerleading the nation into war? You want an example? Now, Mike sent this to me. While McCain hopes the public will see this is another example of his straight talk, you know, busting up on the Bush crime family, here are some quotes that McCain wants you to forget. From Hardball, March 12th, 2003. Chris Matthews. Are you one of those who holds an optimistic view of the post-war scene? Do you believe that the people of Iraq, or at least a large number of them, will treat us as liberators? McCain. Absolutely. Absolutely. Matthews. And you think the Arab world will come to a grudging recognition that what we did was necessary? I mean by that the modern Arab leaders, the people that we have to deal with? McCain. Not only that, they'll be relieved that he's not in the neighborhood because he has invaded his neighbors on several occasions. 2 weeks later, back on the Matthews program. Matthews, do you think it's working? Do you think we'll shake them to the roots so they will give up eventually and avoid a huge bloodbath of people? McCain, I don't know how long they'll hang out. It doesn't take a large number of people to cause difficulties in house-to-house fightings. We've just seen that in southern Iraq. But there's no doubt in my mind that we will prevail. And there's no doubt in my mind, once these people are gone, that we will be welcomed as liberators! So McCain has the temerity to slap his bitch around. That's George W. Bush. Or have I got that backwards? I guess I've got it backwards. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I hope that Democrats will get off their asses this November and go vote, because a lot of Republicans are going to stay home. They're flummoxed. They don't know what to do. The Republican Party is self-destructing. And I think a lot of Republicans are afraid of the terrorist rhetoric, and they're afraid of the rapture rhetoric. They're caught. You know, on one side, the Christers are telling them that the body count is almost big enough for Jesus to come back, and boy, is he pissed. On the other hand, you've got the war lovers, the Bush crime family, and the neocons telling these poor, miserable Republicans that we want your son and your father and your cousin, your nephew, and maybe your daughter, because, you know, we're fighting a war against terror, which of course is impossible. But so the Republicans, I think a lot of them are just going to sit home on election day, all a flutter and just wondering what to do. Oh, my God, what do I do? Do I join a militia? Do I find Jesus as my personal savior? Do I support Israel? Do I tell the Israelis they're murderers? What do I do? I don't know what to do. And now they tell me that Darwin and Hitler were joined at the hip. Oh, Jesus H. Christ, what am I supposed to do? Now, as a result of that chaos, if Democrats sit back and go, ha 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 ha, we told you that the Christers are crazy, we told you that the warmongers are crazy, now you're going crazy, ha 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 ha, well, are you going to go vote? No, why should I vote? I don't need to vote, they're all going crazy. If Democrats adopt that attitude, then the 15 or 16 seats needed to switch from Nazi control to Democratic Party control, the opportunity will be gone. And the effort needed to switch control of the Senate from these Nazis to Democratic Party control will be gone. If you stay home this November and you are a Democrat, then damn you. Damn you. Hang your head in shame and don't ever, ever, never complain again. Just sit back on your butt and enjoy Nazism. And shut up. And I don't care what Democrat you vote for. I really don't care. Hell, even vote for Hillary. I don't care at this point. Just get the Nazis out of office. We can purge the Democratic Party later. Get them out. And if you don't, then to hell with you. Because Republicans are not going to be there. Republicans are going mad. They're disintegrating. They watch this foul-smelling Ann Coulter and the rest of these right-wingers jumping around like grasshoppers, and they're terrified that Jesus is going to sneak up on them and grab them! I got you, boy! Did you wash yourself in my blood? You didn't? Then into hell with you! They're terrified. You're a Christian Marine? You did what? You spent 18 months in Iraq? What? And you got wounded once, and you're terrified, and you can't sleep at night, and your kids are terrified of you, and your wife is ready to leave you, and they're about to foreclose on your house. Well, guess what, Marine? We need you back for another 8 months. Come on, bro. Put on the uniform. Let's go. We got gooks to kill. Republicans are going insane. The entire Republican Party, they don't know how to govern. They have had since 1994. Huh? 12 years. Look what these sons of bitches have done. Look what they've done. Look what they've done since 2000. The Democrats didn't have Clinton to triangulate these sick... No, don't say it, Malloy. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. It's more of Mike Malloy.
This ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the
The greatest singer-songwriter in the history of Western civilization, Leonard Cohen. All right, phone calls. Roberta is calling from San Diego. Roberta, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing okay. I'd like to say hello to Marge, wherever she is. I like to hear her when she calls in.
I do, too. I love
Marge. We're just a couple of old kick-ass seniors. Probably if the two of us got together, we'd probably get in a lot of trouble.
Oh, that's right. You're the woman who sounds like you're 25.
Yes, I am.
And but you claim to be in your 60s.
I'm 63. My birthday was August 9th.
Oh,
anyway,
my goodness.
You know, this is a Trader Joe's cheesecake night for me. Remember I told you a few weeks ago that one of my coping skills is to eat a whole cheesecake once in a while?
I love it.
Yeah, when this stuff just, you know, becomes totally intolerable. One spiritual teacher said about 30 years ago to his devotees that the day would come when women and children would be walking across the border to flee America into Canada.
Mm.
Now, I don't really know if that'll happen, but he did say that.
Hmm.
Isn't John McCain saying these things because he plans to run for president?
Yeah, isn't it amazing how all the Republicans are running away from Bush?
Yeah. A few weeks ago, someone called in and said it would be John McCain and Jeb Bush running in 2008. That is simply horrifying.
Oh, it is.
I would split to Canada. I would not stick around for that.
You know, in a situation like that, I would vote for Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or just about anyone.
But only in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's just getting curiouser and curiouser, as Alice said.
Well, anyway, all we can do is just hang in there and keep eating cheesecake and, you know, try to, you know, find some humor somewhere, somehow.
It's there. It's always
there. And some hope.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right. Thanks, Roberta.
Okay, good night.
All right. You have a nice evening. Don't say goodnight. You're not going to eat a whole cheesecake and go to sleep. Uh-uh. Doesn't work that way. Cheesecake. Kathy!
Cheesecake. I have a great cheesecake recipe.
No, you can make it.
You can make it sugar-free so it can be low.
Oh, are you out of your mind? Sugar-free. No, uh-uh.
Good stuff.
No, I want to go to the nearest bakery. And, well, they're closed now. Oh, my God. Cheesecake. RB is calling from Saskatoon, Canada. RB, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Long time no hear.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was surprised. I was not surprised, actually. I was reading Guardian Unlimited today, and apparently only 20% of the British people believe that the latest terror flap was had anything to do with reality. 80% believe that the government is not telling them the truth, and fully 50% believe the government's staging them. So.
Oh, my God. That's the Brits, huh?
Yeah, it's finally backfiring. They cried wolf once way too often there. It's still working on this side of the pond.
Well, it's starting to lose its effectiveness here. How many Americans are still left who go, oh, my, quick run, hide, the terrorists are coming. I think most people have just about had enough. Now, that in itself is scary because I think most of us understand that this terror crap has been used by the Republicans to keep everybody in line. And that means that they may have to pull off another one like they did on 9/11.
Well, the thing about that is that with all the recent spate of publicity the 9/11 truth movement has gotten, thanks to you and Mr. Jones and others, it looks like if they do try to do something, they're not going to have the unprecedented support groundswell getting behind the president like they did last time. There's going to be enough people going, holy crap, because, hey, it's quite public. Even Fox News ran a little segment, what's his name, Combs, went and interviewed Alex Jones and gave him 10, 15 minutes and let him have his say and didn't try to shut him up, didn't do a Sean Hannity on him. So I'm wondering now if the establishment's going to go, Jesus, we can. If they do it, they're going to have to come full bore with martial law afterwards and just sweep up all of us dissenters and put us into re-education camps. It's the only way it would work. It would be, because I know you'd fight it to the end, so. I can't see how they can get away with it because the American citizens have more guns than they do.
Well, they've got larger caliber weapons, but I don't know.
Because if they actually did that and then decided to do the martial law thing, I can't see the independent American spirit putting up with that. That would be just
despite whatever kind of psyop they tried to pull, I think that would be just complete pandemonium.
Well, RB, I hope you're right, but don't forget, down here in the States, so many Americans have turned into mush. They're cowardly, their brains are dead, their spines have become like spaghetti. They either don't vote or they vote for Republicans because they're immersed in fear and self-loathing. I don't know.
I think the fall elections, if nothing happens before the fall elections and nothing happens, then you know for sure they got the fix in again.
Well, I hope we Americans have some spine left. Thanks, RB. Appreciate it. Take care. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Real words from real people about Lifeline screening.
I was told I should see my doctor or go to the emergency room immediately. Later I said to the physician, I guess I'm pretty lucky to have had those tests. He answered, it saved your life.
In less than 1 hour, Lifeline screening checks for warning signs of stroke and vascular disease. Nearly 50% of people that suffer a stroke never have symptoms. Don't wait until it's too late. Get screened today.
The doctor said I'm one lucky guy, and if I hadn't gone to the screening, I would have been a statistic.
$129, 4 ultrasound tests. No needles, no pain. Just peace of mind.
I owe my life to you.
Mobile testing units are coming to your neighborhood. If you're over 50, make an appointment by calling 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Lifeline screening saved my life.
Please call now. 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
rings or freezes, long as I got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard on my car.
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
With my plastic Jesus, I'll go far. Riding down the thoroughfare, with a nose up in the air. It may be ahead, but we don't mind.
25 before the hour, back to your phone calls. Steve is calling from Salt Lake City. Steve, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Ben, I want you to know you're my intellectual pressure valve. God bless you.
Okay.
Listen, what I wanted to say was, you know, religious and political leaders, the main ones, have always used, you know, religious and ethnic minorities as smoke and mirrors while they rob the bank. That's all it's about. It's all the power game.
Yeah, no, wait a second. I've been in the South so long, I think it's 78 RPM or 45 RPMs. You're talking at 78. Slow down again. Do it again.
Okay. What I was going to say is I really think that the main politicians and religious leaders have always used ethnic and minorities and religious minorities as a smoke and mirrors while they rob the bank.
Yeah, no question.
And, you know, as far as the number of people that they kill,
yeah,
I think they just figure that, you know, if you want to make a really big omelet, you have to break a lot of eggs.
Yeah, if you're cooking humans, I guess.
Well, you know, I really don't think these guys have a conscience. I think it's all about the big chess game.
I think you're absolutely right. Human life to the pro-life crowd in this country means absolutely nothing. Let me ask you something, Steve. Have you heard any pro-life people coming out and screaming about the dead children in the Middle East or in Iraq? I haven't. Have you?
No, it's absurd. The fact that we could focus on Terri Schiavo while people are dying all over the place just proves, you know, that the people don't get it everywhere, and the politicians are laughing all the way to the bank.
I think they are. Or all the way to hell, which is where they're going.
Well, I wish they'd go faster, honestly.
I hear you. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening.
Thanks, Mike. You too.
All right. Yeah, the people who see, who identify a clump of cells in a Petri dish as a snowflake. That's so sweet, isn't it? Snowflake? Here comes Susie Snowflake dressed in a snow white gown. Tap, tap, tapping on your window pane to tell you she's in town. Susie Snowflake. And yet when it concerns the butchery of children, while the warmonger nations, the two leading terrorist nations on the planet, continue the slaughter. Where are they? Where are the snowflake? Where's the snowflake crowd? Oh, please. Herman is calling from Arlington, Virginia. Herman, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Yep, that campaign from corporate responsibility about trying to get the porn out of the motel rooms.
Yeah.
Guess who's part of it?
The Republicans.
No, besides that, D. James Kennedy.
Oh, he is?
His Center for Reclaiming America.
Well, what's the connection?
I don't know. His Center for Reclaiming America is part of this group.
Oh, to get porn out. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he ought to focus on his own congregation because as many as 30% of the women in his congregation are addicted to porn.
Yeah, I saw that survey.
Yeah.
I'd just like to know where were all these people when JonBenet Ramsey was murdered.
I don't know.
Okay. Now, that's all I just had to say.
Okay. Well, thanks, Herman. I appreciate you checking in. You take care. Quick and to the point. Larry is calling from Gallup, New Mexico. Larry, welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my show, Mike.
Sure.
I love your show. I love all the truth seekers. You're talking about how funny these guys are with selling porn and stuff in their motels. But before I got XM so I could hear you every night, I'd listen to the different right-wing stuff. And there was one show, Midnight Trucker out of Texas, and they would say really ugly things, get people to call in. Well, the call-in line that they gave was really just a porn line. It was just a phone sex line. And so they'd get everybody calling in that. They'd say, call our talk line. You call the talk line so you could say something back to them, and it was a porn deal. And it was just this real super right-wing station out of Texas. And
must have been run by some Baptists down in Texas, right?
Probably a whole bunch of Baptist gas stations, but yeah. also I go to a lot of motels because I'm a truck driver, and over in the Riverside Hotel and Casino, the guy that runs that, he's real super right. And on just even the regular channel, there's only two or three of them. They keep having commercials with these half naked girls coming on, trying to get you to call the porn stuff.
The 900 and, lines.
Yeah. And it's just super religious right people, and then they're selling all this stuff.
Why do you suppose that is, Larry? What's your explanation for this hypocrisy?
My explanation is that they're in it for the money, no matter what they're doing, whether it's the church stuff or whether it's anything else. And they are not people that anyone should turn their back on or trust one ounce.
Yeah, there is. There's
they're
big
very
money.
Dangerous.
There's big money in the God business. There's no question. And if you can combine the God business and the porn business, man, you got a winning combination.
I think they're banking on it.
I think so. Larry, thanks for checking in, pal. All right, drive safe. I appreciate your call, sir.
I tell you, some of these rapture riders, they're getting close. You know, boobs for Jesus. They're right up there. Get yourself all pretty. You're going to see God. If you're not going to do it for your Savior, who are you going to do it for? Time is now. Get that facelift. Get that boob lift. Get that butt lift. Well, Jesus is coming.
But don't they understand that...
I'm a bride of Christ.
But don't they understand that the Bible says that after the rapture, everybody gets a new body? Or is that just for the corpses that come coming up out of the coffins and the graves and the cremation urns? I mean, I'm not real clear on that. I just know that my grandmother used to say, if you accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, after you die, go to heaven, you get a new body. And I was, you know, like 7 years old, and I looked at the one I had, and I thought, well, what the hell? You know, I don't know. So is that why should people get breast lifts if they're going to have a new body?
Well, they like 7-year-old boys too, from what I understand. But first you get that clean white robe, and nothing looks better in a clean white robe than a big rack. And I hear Jesus likes back.
Kathy's been into the cooking sherry again tonight. Damn. Sally is calling from Columbus, Ohio. Sally, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey.
Best wishes to you and your family. And
thank
your
you.
Humorous wife. I was looking on the internet because you mentioned McCain. I really haven't followed him.
Yeah.
But it says that he was with Joe Lieberman as a co-chair of a Liberate Iraq committee.
Yeah.
So he was selling the war from the very beginning, and all of the spin that came out of the White House, he never challenged it.
Well, as near as I can and figure out what the hell this former Vietnam War terrorist is talking about, is it's okay to go to Iraq and kill innocent civilians. It's just that Bush should have been more honest about the fact that the innocent civilians would take up weapons and kill back. You think?
I have no idea, because I don't follow politics, and you said that people should get out and vote.
Yeah.
But I'm from Ohio, so I really think, you know, in my state, voting is a joke, a bad joke, and I think the vote fraud has turned our stomachs. And I really think that it's, you know, what makes me sad is that people don't seem to have a stomach for a real revolution, which is what we need across the board. We can't come together. We're so divided. You know, between the people that you describe as religious nuts. I'm a Christian. I'm pro-life, but I scream day and night about these atrocities that are going on.
Well, you know, Sally, if people don't, I can understand the frustration. I live in Georgia. We were the first state to have in every single precinct the Diebold machines. And some of us are doing our best down here. Well, some are doing their best down here to get rid of these abominable machines. But if not you specifically, but if people don't exercise their finger on a voting machine or a punch ballot or a touch screen, then they better learn how to use a weapon. It's very
simple.
That's
what I think would be a very good and productive idea.
You either pull the handle on a voting machine or learn how to pull the trigger on a gun.
Well, keep the bare arms.
Well, that's,
keep your powder dry, as they say.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Sally, thanks for checking
in. Thank you.
Appreciate your call. You take care. Jay is calling from Sarasota, Florida. Jay, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Hey.
It's nice to talk with you.
My pleasure.
You know, I think I found someone even more radical than I am. I'm not a Christian, but you know, when you said your grandmother used to say that when you go to heaven, you get a new body.
Right, right.
You know, I can really relate to that, Michael, because I used to look at my body and say, "Hey, what's wrong with the body I got, man?"
Yeah.
And everybody, the whole Christian right, you ever hear them talking? They say, "There's a better place than this."
Yeah.
To me, that slaps God in the face as I perceive God. Because God has given us this beautiful planet. He's given us each other. He's given us a wonderful, wonderful, I think, time that we have now together, okay, to enjoy life. And everybody's wandering, they want to go with the rapture. They want to go to a place that's better. Is that in itself is bizarreville enough as it is. And my true definition of a Christian, I was telling the guy that called, would be that, who would Jesus bomb, man? Think about it. Who would Muhammad bomb? Who would Buddha bomb? Come on. True spirituality is peace. We don't go in and attack a sovereign nation, no matter what. No matter what.
I hear you.
And I was screaming at the TV set when he stood up there and said, I want your dove and his sons out by sundown. And I'm saying, what is going on here? What's wrong with our country? What has happened here?
I know.
I hear how crazy you get on. I was getting that crazy, man. I was getting that crazy so much that I had to go and seek help. I really did.
Well, I need to go get some help right now. Jay, thanks for checking in, man. I appreciate it. You take care.
Take care.
You know, when people talk about there's a better place, yeah, they're talking about the mountains in western North Carolina. 1-900 mix a lot and kick them nasty thoughts. Hey! They got
back. Baby got back. The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yeah, this is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah?
I own your old, new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the
Yes! Yeah. Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
called the revolution. Time for retribution.
Border to border and coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
It's about 9 minutes before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Jim is calling from Deer Park, Washington. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Good show. You know, when I first heard you on the radio, I said, this can't be true. I'm actually hearing the truth about some of the darker aspects of this country, and I sure congratulate you for it.
Well, it's Air America who took the chance of putting this program on the air, but I appreciate what you're saying. Thank you.
Well, you know, I mean, in this day and age, you listen to the radio, you watch TV, and 99 times out of 100, you're not going to hear the truth. You know, the truth about the important things, not about the length of Brad Pitt's hair or something like that. They'll tell you the truth about that every day of the week.
Yeah.
The important stuff. But I told you, Screener, I want to talk a little bit about 9/11, which nobody wants to do these days. And I'm telling you, Mike, well, you've looked at it. It's just unbelievable. If you go out there and you look at the evidence, of course you got to know where to find evidence, right?
Right.
But to the uninitiated, a good place to start is whatreallyhappened.com, www.whatreallyhappened.com. They have.
Right.
Do you go there?
Oh yeah, I'm real familiar with that website. Yeah.
Okay, that's a great starting point for anybody that wants to look at 9/11. And as you know, it's like drinking out of a fire hose. There's not just one piece or 10 pieces, but literally thousands of pieces. One of the principles of criminology is if all the evidence that you have gathered from the crime scene does not fit your theory of the crime, you have to go back and rework your theory to include all the evidence.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Well, that's the prime, you know, one of the prime principles of criminology. Now, if you tried to do that with Osama bin Laden and his 19 merry men, it would literally be impossible. There's no story you could possibly make up to fit the evidence that we know to, you know, the fairy tale that the man in the cave did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tend to agree with that, yeah.
There's just no way, because we have literally thousands of pieces of evidence. And, you know, to try and fit them into the myth is just impossible. Now, exactly what happened, we're not real sure. But what I know for sure, 100% sure, is there was a governmental cover-up at the city, state, and federal levels that continues to today. Includes your major news media. That I'm 100% sure of. You know, that. So we definitely need to go and look at that evidence. The 9/11 Commission did not look at most of the important pieces of evidence. So there's been no investigation. There was 9/11 was the biggest crime in this history of this country, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
There was no criminal investigation. There was no criminal report. Normally when you have a crime, a man has to sign his name to the report, which lays out his theory of the crime. This was not done. Little bits and pieces were done by various agencies, but there was no overall criminal report on the crime.
Well, I think we can agree the reason for that is because the Bush crime family wanted an attack on this country. Whether or not they engineered the attack on September 11th is for people more well-versed in the subject than I am. But as far as I'm concerned, what they did do, and this is what makes them totally complicit in the attack on this country, is they did nothing when they had ample warning that such an attack was going to occur. In fact, they ordered a complete stand down of any and all defenses that we have had in place for a number of years, probably 50 years, to prevent just such a thing from happening in the sky. So, we're totally vulnerable as where it concerns so-called suitcase bombs or shipping containers that come into this country or our nuke facilities or our power plants. We're totally vulnerable. And the Bush crime family doesn't give a damn. They couldn't care less about the vulnerability of this country. So, I fault them for their complicity. And the truth about 9/11, as you know, has not been told. It just has not. And you're right. There is a conspiracy of silence. If nothing else, just to New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post, not to challenge head-on the actions of the Bush crime family on that day or the subsequent reports. And that's where the conspiracy, as far as I'm concerned, comes in. Hey, listen, I have to leave it there. Thanks a lot for checking in, Jim, okay?
Okay.
All right, take care, sir. I appreciate your call. We have a break coming up here very quickly, so stick around for the final hour of the program. Unless your radio station that you're listening to this program drops the final hour, then take the time to send an email and demand that it not drop the final hour. Huh? We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
America Radio.
What's more important to you, a better looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200 and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
Three traps set by a deranged killer. Two desperate cops who take the bait. One thriller that triples the suspense. Triptych, the new novel by New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Triptych takes you down three harrowing paths of murder, then trips you up with one final shocker you will never see coming. See why critics call Karen Slaughter's thrillers crime fiction at its finest. Read Triptych by Karen Slaughter, a Delacorte hardcover.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Iran says it is ready for serious talks concerning its nuclear program. In delivering its response to a package of incentives put together by the leading world powers, Iran's chief nuclear negotiator says his government is ready to sit down with Western powers as soon as Wednesday. Western nations have accused Iran of using its nuclear technology to build atomic weapons, but Tehran contends its uranium enrichment is for civilian purposes only. Too few active-duty Marines and a lack of volunteers will mean a recall to active duty for about 2,500 Marines during the next year and a half. Marine Colonel Guy Stratton says the involuntary recall will affect members of the individual ready reserve. There are about 35,000 Marines in the reserves. Stratton says they are needed for what he called the global war on terror. A raging wildfire burning in southeast Washington state has forced residents from their homes and is threatening many more.
The incident management team is reporting that there's approximately 200 residential structures threatened, 50 commercial properties threatened, and 300 outbuildings or other types of structures threatened.
Melissa Ganey with the Washington State Patrol says it's unclear how many are evacuating at this time. There are 130 people working on that fire. Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman's campaign says he would refuse a post with the Bush administration. This weekend, Lieberman called on Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to resign. Some political commentators have been speculating that Lieberman is expecting an offer from President Bush to take Rumsfeld's job. But Lieberman's spokesperson, Dan Gerstein, denies it.
Zero chance. He's running as a Democrat. He will and always be a Democrat, and he is only interested in serving the people of Connecticut as their senator.
Gerstein says he believes Bush administration officials have been leaking Lieberman's name in an attempt to show bipartisanship. In California, Orange County Sheriff's deputies have seized about 300 marijuana plants found in a sophisticated grove hidden deep in the Cleveland National Forest. Sheriff spokesperson Jim Amormino says a helicopter on patrol discovered the farm, complete with a gravity-fed irrigation system.
It's hard to say who the suspects are. They go through great lengths to make sure that the plants are watered.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Are you following Florida state politics? No, I don't follow it either, but I just got an email from somebody who does. Randall Terry, who is, you know, one of the founders of Operation Rescue, the anti-abortion organization, is apparently running for the Florida Senate. He's running again in the primary, coming up against a Republican who already holds that seat. And among Randall Terry's pledges are preserving traditional marriage and opposing gay adoptions. His campaign mailers tout the fact that he puts great value on family. They show a picture with his wife and him, a daughter and three young sons taken before a fourth child was born this summer. But Terry's adopted son, Jamil, says the picture is missing two people. He, Jamil, and his sister, Tyla. They're both adopted. Jamil came out as a gay man, and Tyla had a child out of wedlock. Consequently, Randall Terry has abandoned both of them. Jamil Terry says he, referring to Randall Terry, is very big on image, and in a large way, Tyla and I mess up that image. Now, Jamil is 26, and he said Monday that voters in the Northeast Florida district, where his father is trying to unseat the current senator, should know more about the candidate's family, more about Randall Terry's family. And according to Jamil, Tyla would not speak on the record, but when Tyla got pregnant, Randall Terry told his adopted daughter she had to go fend for herself. Jamil Terry says he has, quote, he has tried to say abortion should not exist because families and churches should step in. When his own daughter is pregnant, he refuses to help her. Jamil was adopted, Randall Terry and his first wife, he's been married several times, I guess, adopted these two kids when Jamil was 8 and Tyler was 3. And as far as Jamil coming out and claiming his sexual orientation, that really freaked Randall Terry out. I hate these people. How does this young man and his sister, how do they cope? How would you cope if your parent was an absolute and utter lying, sneaking, duplicitous hypocrite? How do you cope? Do you just write your parents off? Do you just say, okay, adioski, goodbye? How do you do it? Randall Terry. I have yet to read about, or through my own experience, know a fundamentalist Christian in the past, 10 years, who is not an absolute hypocrite. I don't care if that person is on radio or television or Fox News Channel or down the street or works with anti-abortion groups or pro-Bush groups or pro-war groups or anti-Jewish groups or, you know, whatever, anti-Muslim groups. And all of those different anti-things that they get involved in, I have yet to meet one who is not an absolute hypocrite. Back to your phone calls. Where are we here? Sarge is calling from Mississippi, powersandmorrison.com/theoldSarge. How you doing, Sarge?
Doing well. In fact, Mike, I got a promotion. I am now the correspondent for Horn.
I thought you were...
As for Powers and Morrison, our correspondent for Head on Radio.
Well, good for you. I thought you said you got a promotion. I thought you were going to tell me they took you out of the non-com status and made you second lieutenant.
But don't call me sir.
Right.
Hey,
absolutely.
Listen, you know, the question you just asked, and I got an interesting answer for you. I grew up in a family, my adopted family, and they were extreme right-wing fascist types.
Oh, yeah?
Big Reaganites and all of this stuff. And how did I cope? I became a liberal.
Yeah. Was that your rebellion?
I guess because I, you know, they were the ones that made such a big fuss over Kennedy being shot and thought it was such a great deal. And
My God, really?
Yeah, man, they just, wow, let's have a big party. Yay, he's dead. You know, and I was like 10 years old, and I was sitting there going, and these are Christians?
Yeah, that's got to be rough.
You know, and it stuck with me. It never left me.
Sure.
And I said, well, you know, there's got to be a better way. This just doesn't make sense. You don't celebrate the death of a person even if you hate them.
Well, especially when he's been assassinated and he happens to be the president, and the only reason to hate him, I guess, is because he was either Catholic or Democrat or both. So.
It's sick. I mean, and that's the way it was at the church. You know, the Baptist church. Is it shocking that it's a Baptist church?
No, Southern Baptists look at Catholics as cult followers that they pray to graven images and are all going to burn in hell.
Yeah, well, you know, you're just talking about McCain. Now, there's a guy that I wonder about because he was a maverick, then he fell in the line. Now he's starting to be a maverick again. It kind of goes with however way Bush is going, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I just wish John McCain would go ahead and be a senator for as long as the people of Arizona want him to be a senator. And just other than that, just shut up. I don't think he's got anything important to say. I don't think he would make any sort of a leader on the level of a president, whether it was Democrat, Republican, or Quaker. I mean, you know, he's just who he is. He's... I think I honestly believe there's a streak of cowardice in him.
He needs to put up or shut up. Really.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't believe what happened to I'll tell you what, Sarge, call me insane, but back in 1999, I thought John McCain, before I knew, I guess, deeply what his politics were, but I kind of thought that maybe, possibly, that he would be a good Republican president on the order of, say, Eisenhower. Now, I'm not saying Eisenhower is a good president, but at least Eisenhower was fairly quiet. I mean, he had...
better than Nixon.
Well, true. And Eisenhower, you know, set up the Vietnam thing, and Eisenhower had Lebanon, the invasion of Lebanon, and he had all sorts of things. But as far as a Republican was concerned, and the fact that he came out of the military on an absolute, utter command position and understood the horrors of war, I think, to a far greater degree than some freak like George Bush, I thought Eisenhower, when I read back on his history, and I was, you know, I was a kid in school when Eisenhower was president, and I just figure, well, he was, I was kind of thinking that McCain might be that way. Well, it turned out I was just dead wrong. McCain,
yeah, he was a disappointment. Before I hang up, Mike, I want to say one thing, because you know I got to say this.
Okay. Sure.
But people, I want y'all to remember us down here in Mississippi in the Hurricane Katrina area, because we still have a lot of problems, and don't believe the trash that's going to come out on this anniversary, because it's not all true. And I want to get that out, because I know they've sent out talking points. I've got them from the governor's office, and they're a bunch of lies.
Well, next week, Sarge, I'm going to be sitting in for Randy Rhodes all week, and one of the guests I'm going to have is Greg Palast, who's going to be in New Orleans, who is going to be talking specific. As a matter of fact, Kathy, is it on the anniversary of the day the hurricane hit? Okay, so it's at what, 29th?
29th.
Yeah, all right. Well, tune in and call in then, because, like I said, all next week I'll be sitting for Randy Rhodes, and we're gonna talk to a great degree.
Well, Greg is one person I wish I could meet. I would love to just talk with him. He seems like a great guy.
It's hard to get a word in edgewise with Greg. But,
well, Mike, I'm going to let you go because you got other callers.
All right, well, call in.
I appreciate you giving me the time, buddy.
Call in next week when we're talking about it, all right?
Will do, Mike.
All right, thanks, Sarge. Appreciate
it.
How about Tacoma, Washington? Eric is calling from Tacoma. Welcome to the program, Eric.
Hello?
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of static.
Oh, okay.
So I was calling to talk about the mission in Iraq.
Yeah.
When the president still on the flight deck of the Abraham Lincoln with that big mission accomplished sign, that was the old mission. Apparently, the new mission is to completely drain all the oil from Iraq's oil fields, President Bush will not rest until every drop of oil has been liberated from the oil fields.
Well, you're probably right there. All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Eric. Take care. Take care. We'll be back after the break, y'all. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have GEICO motorcycle insurance. Because GEICO covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. GEICO Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Hello?
Hello, hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. He traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me and the Jetta? Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
22 past the hour. Priscilla is calling from Montana. Priscilla, welcome to the program. By the way, I just read your email about your trip to England. I'm sorry about the death of your sister.
Well, you know, she was a heavy smoker, Mike, and she was 62, and just, you know, one of those things that happened. And my dad died from the same thing. But, you know, what's going on in England is really quite terrifying, because we don't realize this in this country, but they have a huge Pakistani and Indian population who moved there because they were Commonwealth citizens. And these are the people who are getting whipped up into, you know, Islamo-fascist nut stuff.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I mean, I live in Helena, Montana, where rush hour consists of 15 minutes. You go to England, and rush hour is 24 hours a day.
Right, and
most of the people are not white.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my sister, my older sister, who's in her mid-60s, and my brother, who works for British Airways, was the only way I was able to get over there, they're really, and their sort of compatriots are very, very upset about this. That the American pressure on the British government to leak this information way before the police were ready to actually pounce on these dudes,
mm-hmm.
has basically snookered their any chance they had of really getting this group of people who were allegedly going to blow up all these planes.
Do people in England or in London believe the story that this group of 22 or 23 or 24 actually had the means, the wherewithal, and the motivation to do this, or do they?
No, they think the whole thing's bogus.
The whole thing is bogus.
Yeah, well, of course it is.
Well, your email said that the Brits were pissed off. I don't think you used that term, but were pissed off because the Americans, I assume you're referring to the Bush crime family, pressured the British government or the British law enforcement to release the information too early. What would have been the advantage of releasing the information that they were about to
pump? They didn't pressure the British government. They were given the information because the British government felt that they had a responsibility to let the Americans know.
Oh, I see.
These were flights between Britain and the United States.
Right.
So the Americans were apprised of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just got out there and said, oh, God, we've got another terror attack. And they had to close down the whole thing way before they were ready to close in on it.
So British
everybody in England is really ticked off.
So British authorities were not quite ready to make the arrests.
They were nowhere near ready. These guys didn't have passports. They didn't have airline tickets. I mean, they had nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, it's like these poor benighted guys down in Florida who had this idea to knock the Sears Tower. I mean, it's very convenient politically to develop a terror plot, mm-hmm. which will frighten people. But the English are very, very upset. My brother, he's a senior executive at British Airways, and this really affects their business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can bet your life that people in Europe are getting more and more and more ticked off at the way the Americans are just sort of playing their terror game.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to tell you that being in England was weird. It was very, very weird. There's much tension. I mean, these guys got blown up on the subways. We haven't been blown up on the subways yet. I mean, there were hundreds of people killed.
Yeah, well, the Blair government, I understand, is really cracking down on civil liberties in England. Is this true?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We think we have a problem? Do you know they have this thing where they have these surveillance cameras on every intersection in London.
Hey,
they can track every car that goes through any intersection in London.
Hold on a second, Priscilla. I've got to do a break here. You want to hold on a minute? We'll come back and talk for just another second, okay?
Betcha.
All right, stay right there. This is Air America. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Thank you.
is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Real words from real people about Lifeline screening.
I was told I should see my doctor or go to the emergency room immediately. Later, I said to the physician, I guess I'm pretty lucky to have had those tests. He answered, it saved your life.
In less than 1 hour, Lifeline screening checks for warning signs of stroke and vascular disease. Nearly 50% of people that suffer a stroke never have symptoms. Don't wait until it's too late. Get screened today.
The doctor said I'm one lucky guy, and if I hadn't gone to the screening, I would have been a statistic.
$129, four ultrasound tests, no needles, no pain. Just peace of mind.
I owe my life to you.
Mobile testing units are coming to your neighborhood. If you're over 50, make an appointment by calling 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Lifeline screening saved my life.
Please call now. 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Abacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Abacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Abacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Abacor works. And Abacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Abacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Abacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
We'll be right back.
knew that the farther we got away from September the 11th, the more likely it would be that I would continue to have to convince people. We live in a dangerous world, and we do.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to Priscilla. Priscilla, where were we?
Oh, we were talking about the difference between America and Europe. I mean, Europe is full of, has a larger Muslim population than we do here in this country.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people, I mean, you look at the riots in Paris. Remember that last year?
Oh, yeah.
You know, all these kids from Algiers, you know, and
sure.
What France did in Algiers. These are people living in tenements outside of Paris. I mean, I used to go to Paris because my godfather lived there. He lived in the fancy part of town. These people who live in tenements, they have no choice. They have no life. They have no jobs. And the only hope they have is what they get from the mosques and the imams and all these crazy people. So the threat of terror from Muslims is way greater in Europe than it is here. And I didn't realize that because I haven't been back to England since 1986 when my mom died.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother and my sister are very well aware of it. And I just don't think people in this country have a clue. And it is, to me, unconscionable that the government of the United States would choose to leak this information to the media in the United States, which, of course, is then going to go all around the world in 3 seconds flat, thanks to CNN. Way before the British authorities were ready to actually pick these guys up with some solid evidence.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. What is your sense of the attitude of the Islamic community in, say, London vis-a-vis the British government or their English compatriots? What's the attitude of Muslims in Britain? Do you have a sense of that?
Well, you know, it's real tough for me, Mike, because I grew up, I was born and raised in England, and, you know, these are people who were born and raised in England, Indian, Pakistani, African, from Singapore, wherever, and they all speak with English accents, you know.
Right.
They come from Hampshire, or they come from Yorkshire, and they've got English ethnic accents.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still separate, and they have always felt that they're separate, and they will continue to feel they're separate.
Now,
is
that their choosing, or is it the larger society in England keeps them separate?
I think it's both. You know, when I was a kid, if you grew up in Hampshire, you thought people who lived in Sussex were foreign.
Right, right, right.
And it was 30 miles away.
Yeah, but everybody was the same color.
Yeah, but you know something? That's just the way it was. I mean, when my uncle was a kid, he was Cornish, which means he was basically Breton. And my grandmother didn't even speak English.
Mm-hmm.
She spoke Breton, Cornish.
Right, right.
So I think that even though it's an extraordinarily small country, that the idea of separateness between not only ethnic areas or counties has been extended.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad because, you know, I mean, I lived in Canada, and the kids there, well, Canada's a wonderful country. The kids there who come from East India say they call themselves coconuts. They're brown on the outside and white on the inside.
Uh-huh.
The kids from the Orient call themselves bananas because they're yellow on the outside and white on the inside. But they think of themselves as Canadians.
Right, right.
And this has not happened in England, and I think this is why what happened. And really, I think what the Americans did in the last couple of weeks has been absolutely disastrous. And I think it's going to just enhance the split between... I mean, I think it's just going to make the rest of the world think worse of America, and it is very distressing. And you know, I'm Canadian. I'd be back there in a minute if I wasn't married to my husband, but...
Mm-hmm.
I think we in America really, really need to be more cognizant of the fact that we have to respect other people. We can't just go on riding roughshod over them and thinking that we can do whatever we like.
That's a good point. But historically, America has adopted just the exact opposite attitude, whether it was indigenous peoples here, or people that we sought to conquer for their natural resources, or put in positions of power, puppets that would operate for us. So I think in asking Americans to be more tolerant of other cultures or races or ethnic groups is an impossibility at this point. I really do. I do. That's one of the reasons I do, in a very strange way, I guess, maybe not so strange, admire the English, because while their policies of imperialism were arguably horrendous, they... Right, but they incorporated so much, I think, if I'm not misreading it, they were able to incorporate these disparate and numerous nationalities and religious and ethnic groups and races into British culture. After they lost their empire.
They lost the empire. I'll tell you something that's really telling to me, Mike. I grew up in the upper classes of English, which is why I talk the way I do. I left there in 1970 because I really did not want to get married to some sort of upper class sop and end up taking my children to gymkhanas and living in a big house and having servants. I didn't want to do that, so I moved to Western Canada.
My wife, Kathy, would have done that.
Yeah, I'll bet.
No, go ahead. I'm just.
You know what's really funny is now, I mean, I listen to public radio, but when they're having begathons, I usually tune into something called Classic FM from England.
Right.
And they all have what my mother would have called common accents. From mm-hmm. Birmingham or Manchester or Dorset or Kimmel or Cockney. And when I was a kid, nobody on the radio talked like that. They were all plummy, and they were all upper crust.
Uh-huh.
So England has figured it out, whereas America is going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, yeah.
And the elite in America are the people who are rich, who have power, and the people who don't are getting screwed.
You really shouldn't get me going. I know. Well, it's very interesting, and I appreciate your impressions and your insights, Priscilla. I always enjoy when you call. I hope you call again. And again, I'm sorry for the occasion of your trip.
It was something that was going to happen.
I understand.
I understand.
Listen, take care, okay?
Hey, Mike, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you very much, Priscilla. Carl is calling from Riverdale, Georgia. Carl, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
Oh, all right, I guess. I'm still looking for a job. The economy is not as good as everybody would like to make you think.
It is not. It absolutely is not.
It's getting worse all the time.
It is indeed.
Well, the reason I wanted to call is I wanted to listen to your show a little bit because I don't have XM radio and all like this, and the Atlanta station doesn't have you anymore.
That's right.
I want to just say that that idiot's press conference the other day, our commander and a thief, the village idiot, he couldn't find water if he fell out of a boat. And the idea that people actually think that he's going to find any terrorist that's going to do us harm is laughable. The only thing he wants to do is give his buddies contracts that he gets kickbacks on for weapons around the world, selling weapons and stuff like that. He doesn't care about anybody but himself, just like his administration. And anybody that believes that drivel he puts out is really foolish.
Well, I certainly agree with that. But there are millions of Americans who do believe it, Carl, who do believe that George Bush is Jesus' younger brother and a great American and protecting us. While none of that is true, not a single bit of it is true. George Bush would stomp the bejesus out of Jesus if he thought if he thought Jesus Christ had oil leases someplace. George Bush would whip his butt or send him to Guantanamo. As far as the rest of it is concerned, George W. Bush is a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite about everything. He's a sneak, a thief, and a liar.
He sold his soul to the devil years ago.
Well, he sold it to somebody. I think he sold it to the Saudis. Carl, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. I hope you soon get XM so you can listen to the program.
Take care.
All right, you too. Barbara is calling from Minneapolis. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Pardon?
Welcome to the program. Hi, Barbara.
Well, thank, Thank you. This is my first time talking to you.
Oh, yeah? Well, don't be nervous.
No, I'm 70 years old, and I'm a former RN, and I kind of lost my shyness a long time ago.
I would think.
Yeah. But anyway, I was I caught a little bit of C-SPAN tonight, and a man named Michael Tanner was from the Cato Institute. He's the director of health and welfare studies.
Uh-huh.
And he was presenting his talk on the 10th anniversary of the federal welfare reform. That ought to give you somewhat of a clue.
Mm-hmm.
And all he was doing was, he was saying things like, kids are, you know, this thing about kids being hungry in our mm-hmm. nation and so on, is all fallacy.
Oh my God.
So you might want to catch that if it's a repeat. I know you're a busy guy, but
that's a good idea. I'll try to track it down because I read Bill Clinton's op-ed column in the Times today where he was touting his welfare reform from 10 years ago. All right, Barbara, I got to go. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in.
Yes,
I hope you
nice
call again.
To you.
All right, we'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
It's about 9 before the hour. Our program tonight was engineered in New York by Justin Yuen and Tim MacArthur. David Weissman handled your phone calls. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org archives the program. And Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program. This is an interesting email here. It's from... it's from Thun, T-H-U-N. That's enough. The subject line says, the apathy is unbearable. And then it says, 1 week of volunteering for the Democrats in Tacoma, Washington has made me realize that 99.9% of the people don't give a damn. 1 blanking week of calling lists of voters and going door to door and doing voter registration, I'm already fried. And the just out of college blanks that work for pay at the Cantwell office don't even listen to Air America, except maybe one guy sometimes. They feel like a bunch of young Republicans to me. And I even saw a bumper sticker on one of their cars that says something like Christian Democrat. Give me an effing break. I don't want to campaign for Cantwell. She is a freak Republican with a D. I hate the blank. But I suppose I will continue, even though I think the Democrats are going to lose both houses in November. I hate this. But I love my guitar. Okay. Fun. Glad you wrote. Okay, back to phone calls here. Bill is calling from Hollywood, Florida. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
I'm a second-time caller.
Uh-huh.
A few weeks back, I called you about Mexico, oil reservoir in the Mexican-Arizona border.
Uh-huh.
And you said it was an interesting theory.
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering, had you heard any more about this civil unrest in Mexico, and if you think there's any connection with this call-up of troops, specialties of MPs and so on?
I don't think there's a connection. You mean with the U.S. military and what's going on in Mexico? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, because Bush.
No, I don't see a connection there. But hell, there may be. I think the candidate who ostensibly lost in Mexico, the presidential race, I think he has a case. He asked for a recount and he didn't get it. He asked for a full recount. And I think his attitude now is what the attitude of Americans should have been when our election was stolen twice. And that attitude is, I'm not going to shut up and go home. I'm going to stay here and keep as many people in the streets as necessary until democracy, real democracy, is served. And that's not what they're getting in Mexico. I mean, that's my opinion on it. I don't know if it's valid or not, Bill. All right. All right. Well, listen, thanks for checking in. We're starting to lose you, so I do appreciate your call. Mark is calling from California. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, earlier on you had kind of a question, you know, what do you do if you have like a Richard Terry kind of person in your family? And it kind of struck a chord with me because unfortunately my father-in-law is a right-wing Nazi freak born-again zombie. And I think that there's just, you know, with my wife wanting to have a relationship with her father, it's just, you know, she tries to write him off, but it's, you know, to write off family. And, you know, I wish I could write off the bastard.
But you can't.
No, you can't. But, you know, and I think that there's, it's painful to see, though, someone trying so hard to have a relationship, and then, you know, the fact that this person is so freaked out anyway, mm-hmm. you know, the lack of respect that he, you know, shows for her, you know, progressive views and still trying to, you know,
yeah.
you know, convert her and stuff. And it,
yeah,
that's
a shame inside a family for that to happen. I've been exceedingly lucky, I think, that my adult children
yeah.
and I have are pretty much on the same page where it concerns our political point of view, and I'm eternally grateful for that.
I'm lucky on my side, though, of the family, at least. I don't have any problems, but
yeah.
I have to deal with it, unfortunately, with the freak emails that he sends of just blither and lies and hate and just distortions and, you know, and these are the people that claim to be moral. It disgusts me.
It just drives. I know. It drives you crazy. I understand. Well, listen. Be kind to your wife. She's not responsible for her family members, right?
No. It's all about supporting her, actually, and that's why I bite my tongue when we drive into their gated community for their freakish parties we go to twice a year, basically.
Well, you have my respect. Mark, we're out of time. Thanks for checking
in. Thanks.
All right, stay in touch. I appreciate you calling. Thanks for participating tonight, however you did that. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
On Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Orrick XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Orrick XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too.
Three traps set by a deranged killer. Two desperate cops who take the bait. One thriller that triples the suspense. Triptych, the new novel by New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Triptych takes you down three harrowing paths of murder, then trips you up with one final shocker you will never see coming. See why critics call Karen Slaughter's thrillers crime fiction at its finest. Read Triptych by Karen Slaughter, a Delacorte hardcover.